This is Cincinnati Edition. On 91.7 WVXU, I'm Michael Monks. There are 500 rabbis in Cincinnati this week. The Queen City is home to the founding of Reform Judaism. And coming up, we'll discuss the importance of that and explore the life of the man responsible for it. But first, residents in two Cincinnati neighborhoods are concerned about a cluster housing development that's proposed. It could impact Linwood and Mount Lookout. What is cluster housing anyway? Earlier today, I spoke with the American Planning Association's Manager of Research Programs, David Morley. David, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you taking some time to talk to us.
Well, happy to be with you today.
Right away, we're looking for an official explanation of what cluster housing is. So can you tell us?
Sure. So cluster housing, it goes by a few different names. So it could be called cluster housing, cluster development. Sometimes you'll hear the phrase conservation design. But regardless of the specific term there, the basic concept is that you are trying to retain a portion of a development parcel in an undeveloped state and concentrate development on a smaller portion of that parcel. So in a traditional development scenario, if somebody is doing a residential subdivision, then you're carving up a parcel of land into more or less equally sized lots that are then going to be sold off as individual home sites. But under a cluster housing scenario, you are trying to retain as much of that parcel as open space as possible, and therefore the individual lot sizes are going to be smaller, and the individual lots are going to be clustered together on a portion of that parcel. The basic justification for doing so is can be different depending on context. So in broad strokes, it's trying to retain as much open space as possible, and that open space may be used for the benefit of the residents of that subdivision directly, or it could have sort of broader purpose as wildlands, rural areas. So there are definitely different implications for cluster housing depending on the specific context. So if you're doing cluster housing in more of an urban area or in an area where the development is going to be adjacent to areas that are serviced by a public water and sewer system, then typically the purpose of clustering then is to create new parkland or new trail space, something that's a public amenity. And the justification for developers for doing this is that by providing high-quality open space, access to high-quality open space, sometimes they see a premium, meaning that they can sell a smaller home site for a little bit more money.
Let's talk about some of the pros and the cons. You started to touch, I think, on what could be described as a pro, is that they would retain open space, the developer would, and that there would be a variety of potential uses for that open space. What is the benefit of that?
Again, it depends on context. So yes, retaining open space is definitely the primary benefit, at least from a public perspective, of clustering homes together. And again, it definitely depends on context. So in a more urban area, the benefit is that that land could be available for public parkland. In a traditional or in a lower density, let's say, context, but that's still, let's say, a suburban context, then that land could be a private amenity for the owners of that subdivision. And then in a truly rural context, then those could be more wild lands. There is some potential that the land could be retained for agricultural uses or forestry uses, or it could be there for the ecosystem services that it provides. So if it's truly wild lands that have forests or wetlands, then those features are cleaning the air and the water that we breathe and helping maintain the environmental conditions that we all depend on.
Are there any general drawbacks or concerns that emerge when these types of developments are proposed?
Yeah, again, I mean, I have said the word context over and over,
but
again, definitely context is definitely key here. So some people are very critical of the idea of using clustering just as an answer for everything. So there are some situations where by allowing clustering or encouraging clustering, then you may be, in effect, encouraging further urban sprawl out into rural areas and compromising working landscapes. So it's not that big of a stretch when you start to think about how many people actually want to be living directly next to an active agricultural operation where the smells of manure are very strong or something like that. Similarly with working, say, forestry landscapes, it can be tough to manage those lands even under a traditional sort of clustering scenario where you're leaving a large part of a parcel undeveloped, but then if you have three or four cluster subdivisions that are locating in a similar or in a proximate area, then now perhaps you're threatening an industry that has been existing there for a long time. So again, it really does depend on context. I think that in a more urban area, there really aren't many downsides that people would point to. It can be a great way to make sure that you're reserving open space for public use when that does not automatically happen in a traditional subdivision design scenario.
All very helpful information. David, we really appreciate you taking some time to talk to us.
Sure thing.
That was David Morley of the American Planning Association talking with me earlier today. And now to talk more about a proposed cluster housing development near Mount Lookout and Linwood, our Mount Lookout Community Council President, Dan Prevost. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
And Mount Lookout residents, Pete Riddle. Welcome, Pete.
Thank you.
And Annie Boff. Welcome, Annie.
Thanks a lot.
If you'd like to join in on the conversation, it's 513-419-7100. You can also email talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and try to get some in the show. Okay, Dan, so give us the general area of where this is. What I understand is the developer is the Redstone Company. They want to construct a couple of subdivisions, one with 18 houses on Linwood, and one with 12 houses on the hillside behind there. Give us the simple geography.
In general, the site is located, it fronts on, currently fronts on Linwood Avenue between Beverly Hill Drive and Sheffield Avenue in kind of in that boundary between Mount Lookout and Linwood communities. And the developer owns or has rights or, you know, is in a contract to buy six properties that front on Linwood. And those houses are pretty modest in size and on relatively narrow lots, but they're very deep lots, about 500 feet deep each. And so collectively, those lots comprise about 4.6 acres. And so that's the property that he's looking to develop. He has, you know, he had come to the community early on with a concept for up to 30 houses. I think they're still reviewing that and, you know, developing those plans a little more, but you know, we haven't seen anything in, you know, concrete writing yet.
We did ask the Redstone Company to come on the show. We were not able to make that work. So Dan, what has the reaction in the neighborhoods been?
Well, it's been, it's been certainly a quick and active response, I would say, from the community. You know, the community council met early on, was approached by Redstone early on to talk about the proposal and get some initial feedback from the community council, because we typically get involved in these projects. And so, you know, one of the first things we did was help facilitate a meeting between the developers and our community, and we did that through one of our regular community council public meetings. We had about 200 people show up, which historically our public meetings get, you know, between 20 and 30 or 40, depending on what's going on. So clearly this was a topic that the community was very interested in.
Annie, you're a resident of Mount Lookout. What are your thoughts on the project?
Yeah, I actually really appreciate the interview that that started off this segment, because it's been interesting because there isn't a cluster housing development within the city limits of Cincinnati. And so we've been trying to learn about that. And it's concerning the density increase. Dan mentioned that there's six houses currently where they're proposing potentially 30 houses to be in that land. But then also there is some flat land along Linwood, and then there's a very steep hillside that goes up to a top of a ridge, but it's a big hill. And most of the residents in the area thought that that was undevelopable, which has been a concern with the landslides that have been happening, with the different environmental aspects of drainage and those kind of things. Because as they said in the interview earlier, with the cluster housing of really preserving open spaces, it doesn't seem like that's what's being looked at here. It's trying to cram in as many houses as possible on a hillside and some flat land along Lynnwood. So there's some concerns around those environmental pieces, the open space that exists, and then some other things like traffic in the schools. So there's a lot of hot button issues that have made myself and fellow community members concerned.
Has there been any analysis of the stability of that hillside and whether it is developable?
Yeah, so I can't speak to the outcome of that, but just within the week, the developer did do some geotech testing on that land. There has been, however, the city has raided the areas in the city on landslide possibility, and that hill is rated the same number as Columbia Parkway. So I'm not a landslide expert, but I do know that we've had lots and lots of issues on Columbia Parkway, and this hillside is rated the same. So that's a little concerning with development and messing up that hill, which then would affect all of our properties that go right up against that land.
Pete, you're also a resident of Mount Lookout. How would you describe Mount Lookout and Lynnwood and how this development would or would not fit within it?
Sure. I mean, I think the character of the community is that you have homes on larger lots. And what I love about Mount Lookout personally is that you have a lot of mature trees on these larger lots that you don't see in newer subdivisions and developments. Also, I mean, I really view that area along Lynnwood Avenue as a gateway to the community of Mount Lookout. And you're talking about putting in a subdivision there that really is not in line with the rest of the neighborhood's character. It really would change the nature of how people perceive Mount Lookout.
The number to call if you'd like to weigh in is 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org or also find us on social media. We're going to continue this discussion about cluster housing near Lynnwood and Mount Lookout coming up, plus an explanation and conversation about why 500 rabbis are in Cincinnati this week. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. A planned community of cluster housing may be set for the area near Mount Lookout and Lynnwood, but the project has some neighbors concerned. Why is that? Let's continue our conversation now with Mount Lookout resident Pete Riddle, Mount Lookout Community Council President Dan Prevo, and Mount Lookout resident Annie Boff. Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, it's 513-419-7100. We've got an email from Karen. She says Lynnwood Road cannot handle any more traffic, and her sewer system seems maxed out as well. It seems as if the infrastructure can't support this type of development. Also, with all the current landslides in our area, building on or near the hillside in those woods is asking for trouble. We've also got an email from Lisa. She says a development of this size will negatively impact our community on so many levels. Noise and traffic are a huge concern, and of course, the loss of green space. But what is most important and should be given the most consideration from city planning is the stability of the hillside. She goes on to make a reference to Columbia Parkway, just as you did, Annie. So that seems to be a concern. I want to talk also about the fact that it looks like there are six houses in that area that would be raised as part of this. Do those houses have any historic significance? Is that a concern for any of the neighbors as well, the loss of those homes?
It really hasn't been to date. You know, those houses are, you know, modest homes and they're typical to the area. You know, this is not a case of one of the, you know, last year we had the house on Grace Avenue that sparked a lot of debate and discussion in the neighborhood. And that was, you know, one of the original farmhouses to the community. And that had a lot more historic value. These houses are pretty typical to the neighborhood. And so there hasn't been any, you know, concern raised so far about that.
So it is okay to consider then that development would be welcomed in the neighborhood, that these houses could be torn down. Annie, is there like a certain type of development you'd rather see there?
Sure. And actually, many of the neighbors and other people have talked about, this is not an anti-development conversation. It is a concern about that actual land. It's a concern about the density increase. So there are definitely hot button issues that are concerns, but it's not an anti-development conversation. Development can be welcomed in that strip and, quite frankly, in our community if it's within the reason of the character of our neighborhood, in the environmental concerns that we have, potential traffic and school issues. So the development can happen, you know, within reason, I think, is would be where the conversation stands now.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join the conversation, let's go to the phone lines. We have Robert on the line. Hey, Robert, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Awesome. What's your question or comment?
Well, my comment is that as I understand the present location on this hillside, there are green areas, there are trees, but at the moment, studies that I have heard of, I haven't seen them, show that this hillside is relatively stable. What happens when you start a development of this nature, you suddenly cover ground that is now absorbing moisture from rainfall and snowmelt. It is undoubtedly for many years it has been absorbing that moisture properly. In other words, it's well distributed. When you put in a concentrated development with roofs, driveways, widening of streets, you cover up the existing drainage area and you tend then to have more concentration of drainage from roofs, for example.
So, Robert, it sounds like you're expressing a concern that while the hillside may be stable currently, it could be destabilized by this development.
Absolutely. Well, I've looked at this same situation in the Houston area, for example, where they never had any problems with flooding. But when you check into it carefully, you find that major developments where they have destroyed the ability of the ground to properly absorb precipitation, you then get that concentrated, and it either runs into the storm sewers, which in this case would not hurt too much, except that we have more and more water in that system. My concern is you begin to get concentrated moisture getting into the ground, and it's even worse when you start removing the green areas and the trees, which now are absorbing a lot of moisture.
All right, Robert, we appreciate the call so much. Thanks for that comment. Describe the area around this construction site, this proposed construction site. Robert there referenced some woods. I've seen some reports on the wooded area. How dense are these woods, Pete?
I mean, it's a mature woodland. There's a ridge that runs through the majority of the property. There's a 68-foot elevation difference between the stream that's running through the valley on the property and the top of the ridge. Some of those slopes, especially on one side of the ridge, are over 50%. So it is a heavily wooded and very steep sloped area.
Let's go back to the phone lines now. We have David on the line. Hey, David.
Hi. How you doing this morning?
We're doing well. What's your question or comment?
So I actually just am noticing something here. I've heard a couple of the people on the panel mention this concept of the character of the community. And I'm not really sure if this is coming off intentionally or not, but frankly, it sounds kind of like a bunch of people are wanting to say that this place needs to remain a location for people of high socioeconomic status to live, and that they're wanting to, in some way, feel somewhat segregated about that. And that is, to me, that pretty much needles me pretty hard, because I've done a lot of work down there in people's houses. I'm a home remodeler. And just the idea of, okay, this place needs to be set aside for people who are of a specific character, like, you know, socioeconomic status seems kind of absurd to me.
All right, David, we'll hang up and we'll give the panel a chance to respond to that. Thanks for the call. Annie?
The first thing I'd like to say is I think it is a misunderstanding. I think that the character did not mean that. When I said character, I actually meant the look of buildings and the houses that are being proposed. And quite frankly, the new development is starting at $500,000 and upwards. So it's actually doing the opposite of what we would hope to be able to have affordable housing. The houses that are being taken are worth much less than that, and we could have a bit more diversity than potentially 500 plus homes. So I'm sorry if that's how that came across. That's exactly the opposite of what we're trying to portray.
And from the community council standpoint, you know, this is development in the Mount Lookout community has been a topic of hot discussion for many years now, and we've tried to approach it where the development or where an increase in density makes sense in both context and, you know, those environmental features that Annie mentioned earlier. The board has not, you know, the community council has not objected to those. I mean, just this earlier this year, we did not object to a division of property somewhere else in the neighborhood.
Okay, back to the phones we go. Next on the line is Jeannie. Hey, Jeannie.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing well. How are you today?
Okay, I have a friend who actually moved on Linwood just this past Saturday. She lives in some apartments that's called Lincrier. And she has a sliding glass door where she can see out that faces the front of Linwood. And she goes around like 3, 4, 5. I mean, she's retired and she doesn't work, but her husband does. She goes, the traffic is like nonstop as far as rush hour. And if you're coming down Linwood making a right off of Observatory, she's on the right side. If you're on one of them side streets and you try to come out and make a left, it's virtually impossible. You have to make a right and then turn around if you want to go up Linwood, because you can never get out to make a left because the traffic just constantly goes up and down Linwood.
Jeannie, we appreciate that comment. We'll get the gang here involved and have them weigh in. Dan, this was something that you all have expressed as well, some traffic concerns.
Absolutely. You know, there are a proposal for up to 30 houses and all emptying out onto Linwood at a single access point. So, you know, if you figure two cars per household, you get roughly 60 cars that, you know, could be entering and exiting the development there. And that section, I mean, I pull out onto Linwood, not far from there, and I have lots of experience trying to turn left, and I know it's, you know, can be, you know, take a long time and be very challenging. So that's something we're certainly concerned about. Also, the developer has talked about maybe they would change the access and add a dedicated left turn lane into the property, but that may also affect on-street parking on Linwood. So, you know, these are some of the issues that, you know, we're certainly concerned about.
Next on the line is Brian. Hey, Brian.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
My question to the panel is anybody aware, how is the developer trying to work with the community? Have they reached out since the Mount Lookout Community Council meeting to try to have an open discussion about what's possible? Some of the concerned residents on this call have said that, you know, they're not anti-development and trying to work with them. So I'm just curious to know if the other side has done that, has reached out to them or anything like that.
Thanks for the call, Brian. We'll hang up, and I believe Pete wants to take that one.
Sure. Our concern has been that the developer, and it was mentioned in this post this morning, the developer says that he wants to take into account community concerns before finalizing a proposal. Well, he's presented detailed plans in closed meetings for the Linwood and Mount Lookout Community Council. He then withheld those detailed plans when he came to public meetings in February for both the Mount Lookout and Linwood Community Councils. He's refusing to commit to come back and attend those public meetings again and present final plans when they're ready. And perhaps most importantly, you know, talking about outreach to individual neighbors. He has approached neighbors on both two of the boundary streets, Sheffield and Beverly Hills / Le Bon, which sort of intersect with each other. He's approached them with the intent of purchasing their homes. He has not approached a single neighbor on Richwood, which is the third boundary street, because it is not a practical access point for his development.
So what's next? What's the timeline look like moving on from today?
Well, the ball is really in the developer's court.
Yeah.
You know, they're, as they've, you know, said, they're still gathering information. They just completed some geotechnical testing. You know, their next step is to develop a detailed plan and ultimately submit it to the city for as an application for subdivision.
And this is going to be the first test of some of these regulations, because there's not such a thing in the city?
Not quite. So the subdivision regulations did get rewritten last year, and that was actually as part kind of that the Grace Avenue property that I mentioned earlier kind of sparked a debate that led to rewriting the subdivision regulations, and I was part of that process last year. So those went into effect right at the end of last year. There have been a couple applications come in under the new regulations, and including one recently that came within Mount Lookout, and that was one that the community council weighed in on as well.
Pete, Dan, Annie from Mount Lookout, thanks so much for coming down and chatting with us about this today.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at wvxu.org.